Welcome, Ashley Hart, Factor 90.3 Nigeria. In phone, her input, Harcourt, I'm Dio. 8 minutes come past 4 p.m. Conversation continues. Many thanks for staying tuned. And, well, we're still having Port Harcourt's biggest conversation over here, talking for development. You're welcome to be a part of it as well. The matter we're discussing right now has to do with MOVs and other matters that concern MOHA local government area and the polity in Rivers State politics and, of course, of the coming general elections 2023. And, of course, we can't do all of that without discussing the PDP as well, especially here in Rivers State and even at the national level also. We'll come to my guest in a moment. But here are some of the recent developments that mandated, if you will, that we have this conversation today. Now, this was in our news. You might remember that the River State Police Commissioner, CP Booker Friday, commissioned the MOHA Vigilante Service, MOV Secretariat, built by Dr. Chidi Lloyd's administration. CP Booker Friday was represented by the DPO, Rumuji Division, CSP Namika, Didi Ugun, and also launched members of the MOHA Vigilante Service, MOVs. And speaking during the event, CBA Boka called on the people of MOHA to join hands with the chairman of MOHA Council and the security agencies in the fight against crime. A lot was promised and hoped as well as far as MOVs is concerned, since the previous vigilante group that operated in MOHA and across some other local government areas in Rivers and Ospak was disbanded by the immediate past administration of MOHA local government council. However, what has been the aftermath of the launch of MOVs and the commissioning of its secretariat as well? These are some of the more recent developments that made it onto our news in the last couple of weeks. A family of late Chijoke Austin says the member, a member of the MOHA Vigilante Service, killed their son when they came to carry out a mass arrest in Elebrada. Elder brother of the deceased in the VC Augustine told our correspondent the brother would have survived, but the MOV's member bundled him into the boot of their car after shooting him. Here's what our correspondent was able to glean from said elder brother. MOVs claimed in an attempt to hide their crime, members of MOVs buried his late brother in a shallow grave in the bush. Immediately, they confirmed that he was dead. Member of the MOVs, God knows Wakanma, accused of shooting to death one Chijoke Augustine, has been handed over to the State Criminal Investigation Department for interrogation. Wakanma is reported to have pulled his trigger when members of MOVs went in search of the cult gang that killed their member in Elebrada over the weekend. Spokesperson of the River State Police Command, Grace Iringekoko, confirmed his intention to our correspondent and said investigations into the matter has been ordered by the commissioner of police. But another matter also regarding MOVs on our news lately. Family of Goodluck NGK missing since Monday this week. And by the way, this was on our news sometime last week, I do believe. Said their brother, who has been missing since Monday, is calling on MOVs to provide his whereabouts. NGK, a native of Odoha in MOHA local government, was allegedly wished away by members of MOVs. Elder brother to the missing man, Emmanuel NGK, said he witnessed when the MOVs members took him away and is calling on the public, including the River State government, to prevail on them to disclose the whereabouts of his brother. Let's also take a quick listen to what he had to say to our correspondent on this development.
My brother, they arrest said, their movies. Till now, police have arrested them, they have tortured them, yet they are not still telling us his will about police to still investigate this matter to find out the truth. We want the world to come to our aid as a family. The person missing is my younger brother, Goodluck Anike. He's not a thief, he's not an robber. They just arrested him. I was there and my mother was there. We rushed out to the point of gun that we should go back. What is the offense of the young guy you are taking away? They did not miss, they just took him away. The commander, he said the guy have no problem. Where they have problem is a little brother. We are got a shot in the daytime. And everybody see the person, not in my village.
All right. Well, I'm asking you, join the conversation. Is MOVIS any different from the disbanded OSPAC and MOR local government here? Join the conversation. We're live on Twitter and Facebook at Nigeria Info PH. The phone lines will be open shortly. But joining me in the studio for this conversation is Chairman MOR local government here, Dr. Chidi Lloyd. Honourable Lloyd, good evening to you. Welcome to Hard Facts.
Good evening, Daryl. Thanks for having me.
Let's get straight to it then. Considering that the allegations of killings, disappearances, abductions, and other allegations leveled against MOVIS is quite synonymous, quite similar to some of the atrocities that were set up and carried out with the disbanded OSPAC in MOR local government area. How different would you say thus far is MOVIS from OSPAC? And would you say that the introduction of MOVIS has been a success so far?
Well, Dayo, I feel very pained. I feel very pained that all my efforts at rebranding and redirecting these young men who came out initially with a very altruistic intention to sanitize the local government area and make it safe for everybody. I came on board and try to regroup, you know, try to do some housekeeping. Did a change of name, change of orientation, got the police, the DSS, everybody involved for all, with a view to ensuring that we have a safe local government. And only for me, shortly after the commissioning of the facility, which I took time to painstakingly put in place, on the 13th of July, only for me to hear less than 1 week after this kind of ugly incident. First and foremost, my heart goes out to those who families who have lost loved ones. I really sympathize with the situation. But what we did when the report got to me that this was what had happened, I thank God for the divisional police officer in Rumuji, who immediately swung into action and informed me that this was what had happened. I said he should immediately arrest the two personnel that were involved and that they should produce whoever was arrested. Dayo, that wasn't the intention of the vigilante. And like I said, you recall that I sponsored a bill to the legislature, which was eventually passed. And that bill has provisions, which includes that personnel of MOVA vigilante are not to bear arms. So I do not know what they used in committing the felony which they committed. So that will be for the police to unravel. And they immediately quickly got the two personnel, unfortunately the commander and his deputy, who are currently in police custody. For the one in Elebrada, in a very sad situation, a young man whom I hear was going about his chores, taking care of his sick father, was shot in the broad daylight. Nobody has any right to take another person's life, except in a manner prescribed by the courts. So, I wouldn't want to make statements that may prejudice investigation. The police are on top of the situation, I hope that they would unravel what had happened. But I want to say that That does not, that what has happened is an isolated case. It still does not put question sign on the entire operation and intent of the vigilante. There are still good ones there. It's just like we have in the police force. We've heard of policemen who also offend the law. But what is important in this case, Dayo, is that we have put in place a system that punish our personnel when they act or traverse their powers. So that is what is important. So it will be uncharitable to just dismiss the entire system. But we have in place a system that will punish anybody who commits any act of brigandage, including taking anybody's life, because that is not part of their functions. They are to work with the police. They are not to go into any community, sue moto, and begin to harass people. Besides, these people are here, were abducted and killed. There were still others who are here, have suffered serious machete cuts.
Now, without intending to sound like judge, jury, or executioner in any way, but the comment thus far suggests very strongly that you admit as well that all is not well.
Absolutely. Dayo, the good luck I have is that I have the opportunity of attending to you whenever you call on me to also state our own part of whatever is going on.
And you always hit that call as often as you possibly can.
Absolutely. Anytime I'm available, when you call, I come. You know, what was up when I came in, it was worse than this.
My question is, so having admitted that something's wrong, the question then arises, because you sat in that chair severally discussing when this was in the works, the build-up and the efforts you were making. As a matter of fact, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that it should have been initiated even long before now, but you took extra effort to ensure you came out with a complete package. And yes, names that were submitted to you earlier on, yes, you denied, you rejected those names.
Absolutely.
Insisting you wanted the proper person, you wanted the proper system in place. Now, in spite of all of that effort, this is a creation of law. It's not often that we have vigilante groups set up by a creation of law, which is the question many ask sometimes. Other vigilante groups that exist in different parts of the state, who are they answerable to you?
But you put
proper processes and systems in place for this setup. What then went wrong?
Dayo, you're just like asking me, why would Jesus Christ, the Son of God, choose Judas? That is what it means. Nobody gave Judas to Jesus. Jesus chose him among the 12, and it was the same Judas who sold him. You can imagine when you're dealing with human beings. And this was why I took steps to ensure that they do not act recklessly. We are talking about human lives here. You can see how pained I am that I have put in so much effort into this local government. I came with my whole heart to serve.
How about the issue of firearms? Because reportedly they shot.
It is clear.
Are they allowed to bear firearms?
No. I have said that for the umpteenth time. It is clear in our law they are not to bear arms. These are the things the police should unravel. How did they come by it?
Let's talk about the structure of MOVs once again. You said that they are answerable. Answerable to who? What is the line?
The vigilante is not to act on their own. They are supposed to gather information and feed the police. Okay? They are supposed to, because they are closest to the localities, and that was why we said everybody who is a personnel of this service must do so in his own community.
But I think they have a board or something that oversees.
We have an advisory board of eminent personalities in the local government without prejudice to party affiliation.
Now, since this unfortunate series of events, what has this advisory board done to address these matters?
Of course, the advisory board is also moving, but I have said that nobody should tamper with investigation. I've given clear directives. And of course, to that extent, the DPO had also transferred this matter to the state criminal investigation department. They are on it. So I wouldn't want to say anything that will prejudice the but what we are doing is that our eye will continue to be on the ball. We would not allow this incident to distract us from our core value, and that's what we are doing.
Now, since the command of MOVC is in police custody right now, what then happens to the running?
When this happened, I immediately suspended the commander and his deputy who were involved in this ugly incident. And we have an acting commander who is taking care of business. And of course, this also brings to the fore that we are going to train and retrain personnel. You know, most of them, because a good number of them, since they were not directly recruited by us, there were nominations made from the communities to us. A good number of them are still living in that past. When I say what used to be
Parliament, please hold on. So to go for a quick commercial break. We'll return in a moment. Conversation continues. Stay with us.
We take off with the biggest conversations with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Welcome back to the Hard Facts in Nigeria Info and Hearing Port Harcourt. I'm Dai. We've got 28 minutes to go before 5 o'clock. My guest, Dr. Chidi Lon, Chairman, MOR Local Government Council, still in the studio. Dr. Lon, welcome once again.
Thanks, Dai, for having me.
We're discussing the development in MOR Local Government vis-a-vis allegations that MOVIS is on a rampage of sorts. All the matters regarding or concerning MOR and the policy coming up shortly. But Dr. Lon, seemingly finally on the MOVIS situation, not the first time, of course, that members of vigilante groups, either in MOR or elsewhere for that matter, have been fingered for contravening the law. What has been the practice, the norm over time, is that there's a lot of noise created over it, some outrage, and after a while, the whole thing dies down, and the person who are alleged to have been perpetrators of whatever heinous crime it is are seen back in those communities, even still spearheading and leading those vigilante groups. Is it going to be the same?
It definitely will not be the same. Not under my watch. Nobody will be lawless under my watch, because it may be those who are killed in Odo and Elebrada today. Nobody knows which community will come next. So what we've done, like Dayo, you said, it is not proper. It's not correct to say that the MOVIS is on rampage. No, what has happened is that some of his personnel have acted or traversed their powers, and they are going to pay for it. They are going to, they will be dealt with in accordance with the law. First, the police will investigate and take it up from there. Even in the Bible, it is not yet Uhuru would put in Satan away. That is why we have churches go every Sunday. Some have weekly programs, all with a view to permanently putting out Satan. But it happens from January 1 to December 31st. So it is not yet Uhuru with Satan. We've not been able to take Satan out of our polity. That is how it is in every human endeavor. Even the police, when I was privileged to be detained there sometime in 2013, I also saw policemen in cell. In fact, police have his own cell. Were it not so, you would not have lexicons such as court martial and all that in the military lexicon. What that means is that they perceive that some of his personnel could fall short of the law. But the most important thing is that there are strategies to deal with those who have infracted the law. And this will serve as clear signal to those other personnel who remain to know that when you act outside the law, the chairman of council will not be there for you. So it will also it will go a long way in taming them. You know, some of them still exist in the 2016, 2017, where worse things had happened, but families couldn't cry out. Now we have given voice to families to cry out when they perceive high-handedness. Dayo, we came into a local government where members of what was OSPAC were now dealing with matrimonial causes, flogging husbands before their wives, tying up chiefs, and throwing them into dungeons and so on. So it was a Herculean task for us to be able to streamline the activities of this vigilante. Hence the law. Yet, it's not been easy, but we will not relent. We will get it right.
I'm sure that the good people of Emohua and even surrounding parts would wish you the very best and hope you succeed with that. But let's move from Emovis now to this matter on our news from earlier on. National Industrial Court in Budharkot has adjourned to 13 October the case between some aggrieved Emohua local government council staff and the council chairman, Dr. Chidi Lloyd, and two others. Presiding Judge Justice Nelson Agwanya adjourned the case after directing the lawyer to the aggrieved Emohua staff to write Dr. Chidi Lloyd over his intention to address the issues raised in the suit outside the court. It followed information that the MOA council chairman is already addressing the issues raised in the matter. And the question, without attempting to, you know, to predetermine what the court might decide, but are you right now invested in an out-of-court settlement as far as the matter is concerned?
Well, Dayo, first and foremost, let me, so that this medium is not used to mislead the public. The court will not direct a lawyer to write to me. You understand what I'm saying? A court will not. If the lawyer, the defense, the respondent's lawyer brings up any matter which he perceives is contemptuous of the court, he informs the court. The court makes an order. The court will not direct the lawyer to write to me. My lawyers also briefed me what happened in court yesterday. Nothing other than the fact that they took a date for October because the courts will soon be on vacation, and that the 13th of October, the case was adjourned for hearing. So nothing else had happened. Besides, on the issue of whether I am tampering with the rest, there is nothing that stands on my way from dealing with my workers. Those in court are not all, what would I say? It's not every staff member of MOA local government that is in court. There are 19 or so of them. We are not dealing with their issues. I have a new internal auditor, cerebral young man, who came in. And what does internal audit mean? I said, I'm paying XYZ people. He says he wants to know. I opened myself for audit. That is what he's doing. And all those, other than those who went to court, who think they have issues, he said, come to me, not me. It is the internal auditor whose duty it is to look at our books. And to my chagrin, he has also unearthed a lot of things, worse than what I thought I had solved. A situation where people without school cert have been promoted up to grade level 14. You see that, Dayo? I have run a biometric exercise, you know, on the face value. Where were you working? HA. Okay, show evidence of payment or salaries from HA and all that. He's now looking into this IA. He's looking into the nitty-gritty. It's just like if you become a non-commissioned officer, there are ranks you cannot exceed. Okay? So there are ranks, there are levels and steps which a civil servant who does not have a first degree or its equivalent will not go beyond. But in Emohua, you have people with school cert, first school leaving certificate, they are on level 15. Then somebody comes to say, no, it shouldn't be business as usual. Then people are crying blue murder. But the good news here is that from the 8th of July up to the 16th, we are commissioning projects. These are not 3D projects. They are there live for everybody to see, including one of the four roads, one of the four roads which we are constructing, the Eveku Road. It's not 3D, it's there. The hospital which we built in the council is not 3D, it's there. The state-of-the-art administrative block which we are building is there. And no other funding from anywhere. And I make bold to say that we are not owing any financial institution. We've just decided to be frugal. All those free monies that hitherto used to go into personal funds are being deployed properly. And I have no regrets. I would do it 310 times if I have the same opportunity.
Join the conversation. A reminder, we're live on Facebook and Twitter at Nigeria Info Page. The phone lines will be open shortly. But a final question to you before we go to the phone lines. Let's talk about the PDP situation at the moment. It appears that they all may not be well with your party, especially at the national level, as your presidential flag bearer at the moment, Atiku Abubakar, recently granted an interview where he made what may be considered certain revelations, and he also talked about his plans for the country if he becomes president. The River State governor, who is a major stalwart as far as the PDP is concerned, he himself vied for that, for the party's flag, didn't get it, came second, and there was a lot of back and forth, some ruckus as to whether or not he would get the vice presidential ticket. That did not happen, but Governor Wike has come out to say, to lampoon, if you will, some of the comments credited to your presidential candidate, Atiku Abubakar, calling them lies and stating that in no distant time he would reveal some more as far as what has transpired and what is transpiring in the PDP is concerned. So it raises questions as to the position of the PDP, especially here in River State, as regards the coming elections in 2023 and your support for your presidential candidate, Atiku Abubakar. Can you speak to that as to the position of the PDP in River State vis-a-vis the presidential elections next year?
Dayo, I'm not competent to speak for the party. I'm not the party spokesman, but I am a stalwart of the People's Democratic Party. Being a council chairman, I have my own views about the issues that are going on. I think, and that this is a lesson to all of us, that you do not, no pastor should abdicate the pulpit for strangers. This is a huge one. You do not, no pastor abdicates his pulpit to strangers. Former Vice President Atiku Abubakar can talk the way he can speak the way he speaks now because he's not a member of the People's Democratic Party. He came back after a long sojourn in other political parties. And I recall that I had said in an interview, other than your station, that this is the time to be careful. It is one thing to be a flag bearer, and it is yet another thing to be the president of a country. If it is merely holding flags, Atiku has about five or six of them or so. So it is not new to us. But for us, in Nemo, our local government, and I'm sure in other parts of the state, the governor has worked in a manner that he has won our support, our raw support. And in this case, for us, we are like Ruth. We are saying to Deborah that wherever she goes, we will go. And her people will be our people. And of course, her God will be our God. That's what we have said to the governor. So if he leads, and we will follow. Because the interview that was granted by the former vice president clearly shows that when he becomes president, he will not be president for everybody. And for a politician as experienced as they say Atiku Abubakar is, I felt ashamed to read that he said so. And that I had actually denied that those were his words until I saw a worse version on Arise TV, looking at him eyeball to eyeball. So he already has a score to settle with River State if he becomes president. But the governor will give his directives. I'm sure they are talking about, discussing. But one thing is clear, that even in the so-called reconciliation that the former vice president, Atiku Abubakar, is banding, that there is no sincerity in that whole thing. It's like a melodrama. And a man like Governor Wike cannot be taken for granted. He cannot. Nobody can. Nobody can.
Join the conversation now. The lines are open. Call 0817-93-0002 or 0003 or 0007. We're live on Twitter and Facebook as well at Nigeria Info PH. WhatsApp on 0809-030-6416. Rufus joins us from Abuja. Rufus, you're welcome. Please go ahead.
Good evening, Tayo.
Hi, Rufus. Go ahead. Straight to your comment or question.
Yes, and your guest too. Now, stress like you said, your guest, while he was in APC, specifically when he was the DG of Tonye Cole campaign team in 2018, he honored an invitation to a sister radio station where he advocated for more of youth engagement by creating jobs, thereby reducing the rate of crime. My question is, why is it that now that he's at the realm of power, he cannot create that same environment rather than this task force vigilante mentality? And if these people are always committing this atrocity, why don't your guests create environment for this young men to be duly engaged?
Rufus, does insecurity hamper the ability to create jobs? Rufus, the question is very simple. Does insecurity hamper the ability to create jobs?
Dayo, can I just finish my question before you start asking me again?
No. I think your point is clear already. I'm trying to be very brief with this to dispense with you so we can move on. Once again, the question is, does insecurity hamper the ability to create jobs?
No.
It doesn't?
Yes.
So insecurity aids job creation? Rufus, good to hear from you. Ogundu from Malaka, you welcome. Go ahead.
Yeah, Dayo, good evening and good evening to your guests in the studio.
Go ahead, please.
Dayo, please, while your guest was talking, even before now in other radio station and your sister station, he has made mention of profiling. I think this English is a big word to some of us here, even if I know the meaning. Please, can he be able to tell us how much profile or what happened during this profiling, what activities went on? Because when you are profiling somebody, you definitely have the data of everybody and the activities even before that time. So let him tell us how far the profiling went, that at the end of the day, what we are seeing, we are still seeing it. Thank you very much.
Before you respond to that, Dr. Lord, let's take Daniel from Italy. Daniel, you're welcome. Go ahead.
Thank you, Daniel. Good afternoon.
You're welcome. Very quickly, go ahead, please.
My brother, I'm lawyer, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, what my other brother was trying to say in the studio, that he profiled them and then he knows everything about them. Is he telling us really that he does not know that those movies security men do not own a gun, have carried a gun from Eli Brother to Edoha, and even throughout the time that the person was going on, that he was not put to know about what they were doing until they finished in Eli Brother and then went to Edoha? So it's like, to me, he's not trying to tell us the truth about it. Thank you very much.
Welcome, Daniel. Dr. Lund, your response.
Yes, I'd like to respond to that to Daniel. Daniel, please, if you have any information about my involvement, either overtly or covertly, in what happened in Eli Brother and Odoha, respectively, please make such information available to the police. That is all I can say about that.
And the previous question
is about profiling. First and foremost, he says can and be able. The two don't go together. So I will be able to answer him. To say that what profiling means is that you look at the fellow you're profiling his antecedents. There's nowhere it will say that you look at what he will do then. Like Macbeth said, there is no art to read the mind's construction on the face. Shakespeare wouldn't have written it in Macbeth. We guaranteed what the DSS and the police, if anybody should have such art, it should be them, not me. But they were not able to say this is what they will do. So that's why we have put in place punishment for those who now start learning new tactics, such as the unfortunate incident that has happened in these two communities. So I couldn't have known what any human being is capable of doing immediately after discussing with such a fellow.
All right. We got Obed from Egbeda. Obed, you're welcome. Go ahead. Straight to comment to question.
Just in the studio, Honorable Mekata.
No.
I just want to ask another question, please.
Obed, go ahead. Go ahead.
I want to commend you for what you have done in the MOAG, where we all come from. But my question I want to ask Honorable Steven by the even as people is part of our AGA. I want to ask, even as people have not been dictated ever since he became governor, seems like our brother and also our in-law from Mali from Egbeda. I will say that even as people have not been dictated ever since he became governor, councillor in Emo.
Okay, everybody, great to hear from you.
Well, Obed has said it all. At least, if you didn't benefit anything, the chairman is your in-law. And that is also a capital project now. It's also important to state that I have a three-year tenure. I just spent one. Why not ask me this question towards the twilight of my administration? Obed, just take it easy. The best is yet to come, okay?
Via WhatsApp, I empathize with the family of the dead. I also stand by the chairman. I have never heard him talk this way. I can feel his pain. Come to think of it, we will not call angels to come and do what we should do. Why can't you do things right when given positions? That's from Sol Carey. Can we take Sam? Okay, Sam from Borikri, you're welcome. Very quickly, go ahead, please.
Yes, I want to ask two questions.
One question, Sam, very quickly.
One is concerning security and the other is politics. Concerning security, last Saturday I was thinking that I think it was just saying that he never gave arms to the
Democrats.
But when I was at the last Saturday, I saw the police sitting around.
Okay, Sam, I can't hear you clearly, but I tried to make out what Sam was saying. I think, Sam, sorry if you can hear me if I really said now, the connection is not very clear and it doesn't want justice to continue anyway. But I think I picked out what you were trying to address, and that's the issue of weapons. And he said he saw MOV's members bearing weapons when he was going, maybe traveling along the road or something. Could you address that, please?
I want to also use this opportunity to talk to people like Sam. When you see something, say something. If you see vigilante groups, the MOVs, which I have said shouldn't bear arms, you see them with arms, please tell the police. They will be able to tell you who gave them arms. Of course, it can never be G. D. Lloyd. I'm a lawyer. I know what the position of the law means. And that is why I'm taking pains to ensure that we create strong, strong institutions. If there was no need for vigilante, they won't be set up. The police alone cannot police our communities. Hence, the need for a vigilante. That one or two persons, look, the commander of that MOVs is a retired deputy superintendent of police who ought to know. So what else will I do? I'm not involved in their day-to-day operations. I expect that a man like a retired deputy superintendent of police ought to know. So I'm not passing any judgment until the police finishes with their investigations.
Well, we have run out of time. We have to wrap up the conversation on that note. Many thanks for being a part of it. Thanks to my guest, Dr. Chidi Long, Chairman of MOR Local Government here. Many thanks for your time. Wish you the very best.
Thanks, Daya. It's always a pleasure talking with you.